Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 572, Halo's Patch Tuesday, recorded live on March 7th, 2017. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And it's been a while since Halo 2 has been out, and I still have not finished the campaign. Given my hardest efforts to complete it in time for even tonight's podcast, I still haven't finished it. So we still won't be talking too much into spoiler territory for the campaign.
Because we don't want to spoil it for Dust.
I don't even know what the ending is yet. I haven't seen it.
I do.
And I know there's people talking about it. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll just go over here and I'll keep playing.
Mute you.
I haven't had to mute anybody yet, which is nice.
Well, that's good. I had to avoid YouTube for a few days before I got to play it.
Right, with all the review. Which is funny, because I haven't really been available much to even do much social media, YouTube or whatever, because work has been such a pain in the back. But I've been fortunate enough to not be exposed to any of that so far. So I honestly don't know what the ending is like.
I think you'll like it.
That's good to know. When people watch me on stream, they'll see the genuine reaction of me seeing it for the first time. So that'll be cool. Whenever the next time I'll stream will be. Maybe Thursday, maybe not till Saturday. I have no idea. Depends on what work decides to put me through.
I did about a 5-hour marathon stream the Sunday following the launch.
I think I've played the game for probably a good 8-9 hours so far, and I still have 2 missions to complete. I just failed the Halo mission last night.
Oh, that's not good.
It's a pain. It's domination. And I got wrecked. No, I barely got more than halfway, and then the Banished beat me out.
Aww.
I do not do RTS as well. And we have Bobby in the chat saying, I barely managed to finish Legendary. Screw you. I can't even beat it on Normal.
I've played on Easy. I like to go through, especially games that I'm not good at, like RTSs, play it on Easy. Figure out where things are, what's supposed to be going on, and what I can do to counter it.
That's probably a good starting point. That's kind of why I didn't think Normal would be this difficult. So that's one of the reasons why I'm having so much of a pain, but I didn't want to change the difficulty, and I only have 2 missions left, so hopefully it won't be too bad. And I mean, at least going through it once, I kind of learn, okay, this is what's happening here, this is what's happening here. So when I try it my second time, I can do all okay with it. But I am definitely going to need help for doing Legendary. And I think that there's enough people that have offered to help me out where I may just do it like a mission or two per person helping me out and just do a stream of it. It's like, okay, I did my campaign. Now time to do Legendary and get all the achievables, all the unlocks, all the bonus objectives.
I would recommend Easy for the little side missions. Yeah, the unlocks.
But so wasn't there is there achievement to do all gold on a certain difficulty though?
There is an achievement to do all gold. I think it doesn't have to be on Legendary though.
Oh, okay. Then Easy it is. I still gotta go back and get Halo Wars original achievements and then Definitive Edition achievements.
The one thing I would like them to do for the stats page for Halo Wars is list the objectives, at least list the ones you've completed, not just 3 of 5. Show me which objectives I have missed. Because I've got one, and I've played the mission at least twice, and I know I've hit every objective, but it won't give me credit for one of them. And I don't know which one it is. But anyway, that total side note.
So, like when you're going to go play, you know which ones you haven't gotten before?
Right.
That would be nice, kind of like how they do it with achievements. It'd be nice to know, hey, you got this one, and you didn't get this one. Good to know.
And also, it would have been, it would be nice if they would, if somewhere they list the par times for each difficulty, because the guide have incorrect par times in them, in it. But I can't verify that until I actually load up missions on legendary to see if they put the legendary part times in there or if it's heroic or if it's just a flat misprint.
I would, that's weird that they wouldn't list it all out like that.
Cause I mean, one of the missions part time in the book says 40 minutes and at least on easy, you bring up part time and it's 20 minutes, which, you know, I can understand part time on a lower difficulty to be lower. That's fine. I would just, you know, like to know what is what.
That's weird that they missed something like that, though. Especially Prima.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, until I fire up a legendary mission, I won't know. And I haven't fired one up yet, so.
Well, for the few people or so that told us their experiences so far who entered in to get a Prima guide, just be aware of that, I guess. When you get your guide.
I will definitely have an update next week. I will check this week and see if that is what the what they're doing, if they're just listing the legendary part times.
Third says he's hoping to crush legendary this weekend.
Good luck with it.
I will be lucky if I'm done with normal this weekend. Given my track record currently, that may not happen. It'll probably happen. I'll probably have enough time to at least finish it this weekend. But regardless, we have a few things to go through with patch notes for Halo Wars 2 and Halo 5 for this past week. These patch notes are, I think the Halo Wars 2 one is a kind of something that they've been pulling together since before the game, and it's just kind of a all-out update. And then Halo 5 has a myriad of multiplayer, sandbox, forge stuff, and all that kind of stuff. So let's kick it off with the Halo Wars 2 fixes that have been updated. So there's a couple of notable things that I've kind of noted down for our little notes that we'll go through, and then there's a few things that we'll pick out in detail. But for general performance issues, there's lots of hardware and general crashes and bugs that they've fixed that get a lot of the first time experiences out of the way with PC, and then a couple of things with the console, but there's a little bit more leaning towards actually getting a lot of the PC stuff fixed. Especially stuff like people getting stuck on loading screens, black screens, network errors, disconnects, all that kind of stuff. Nothing too specific there that stands out. From a gameplay perspective, there's a lot of a lot of bugs with unlocking achievements, tracking achievements.
been there.
Pathing stuff is also fixed. Some stuff specifically with Blitz is fixed. Some of the units interacting with effects and cloaking and pathing and all that stuff have been addressed. And this seems like probably an initial list of more issues that haven't been addressed yet. So I would imagine we will see a lot more fixes to whatever is going on with gameplay modes, units, pathing, and all that kind of stuff. Well, nothing particular stands out.
Yeah, the update is almost 10 gigabytes.
It's like a day 1.5 patch.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sizable update. So if you don't have automatic update set up, you might want to do that.
Yes.
There's a lot in the fix, and there are things that I've had problems with. They did say that the ETA on the Windows 10 patch is within, they're saying 24 to 48 hours of the release of the Xbox One patch. So, you PC players, it's coming. The bulk of the fixes that I've seen in here are related to PC as far as performance and errors and stuff. Some of the gameplay stuff seems to be across the board.
I think this was the fix that they were talking about last week, too. The thing that they were talking about, the day one update for consoles that hadn't been applied to the PC version yet. I think this is that. So there'll be a lot of stuff that may not be an issue on the Xbox that was an issue on PC that's finally getting fixed.
Yes. They did make some changes to vehicle balance and costs, mainly on your scout vehicles. They changed the amount of damage they take and receive. So your scout vehicles will be weaker against base turrets, and they will do less damage against non-scout vehicles. They're just trying to curtail the chopper rush and the ghost rush and the jackrabbit rushes.
Zerg rush.
Yeah. It's a patch. I mean, people will always, they'll always find a way to rush. All they're doing is delaying it a little bit, but it does make it a little bit more balanced as far as winning a game with, you know, relatively cheap units is kind of frustrating, because you can spam jackrabbits and ghosts and the brute choppers out relatively quick. And before the patch, the brute choppers were actually really powerful.
The Banished have a lot of powerful units, like the chopper, the locust, scare. Yeah, there's a lot of powerful units in the Banished side of things.
Yeah, there are. Like I said, they're changing the costs of them. They're also adjusting build times. Scout vehicles are going to take a little longer to build.
That'll probably help with spamming.
Oh, yeah. They are looking at Forge Economy power nerfs, Andrew's Sentinel nerfs, Wraith and Scorpion buffs, future nerfs to scout vehicles, Cyclops and Hunter nerfs, Suicide Grunts, Jump Pack Brutes, and Elite Ranger buffs, Flamer buffs, I'm guessing they're talking flamethrowers, Supply Pad Diminishing Return Curve Adjustment.
Which, good luck in knowing what that means.
I think that basically there's kind of a sweet spot where you take maximum advantage of the amount of supplies coming in. If you go more than that, it doesn't increase at a exponential rate. You know, for each additional supply pad after that one plot, or, you know, that preset number, it doesn't increase by as much. So you could add another 5 supply pads and only gain 10 resources in a set period of time. So the cost versus benefit changes. You know, kind of like, you know, in the original Halo Wars, you know, your first reactor was 250, your second reactor was 500, third reactor was 750, and then your fourth reactor was 1,000. Well, it was actually cheaper to build 2 reactors and upgrade one, or upgrade them, because, you know, they didn't eat up base slots. You also were able to get to 4 reactors faster that way, because the upgrade took less time to apply than building them. You know, they're just balancing. They don't want somebody just to fill a couple of bases full of supply pads and just outpace somebody in their economics. It sounds like they want to give equal balance to both players when it comes to economics.
That makes sense.
Although I did see my first Super Turtle.
Your first what?
Super Turtle.
I have no idea what that is.
The idea of a Super Turtle is to get your economy rolling good enough that you can plant yourself on one base and defend that one base, and the other guy can't beat you.
Okay, then. I have not heard that term before.
Look it up on YouTube. It's actually pretty cool. This guy went 2.5 hours. One game.
Whoa. And this is of domination, or?
No. Of standard 1v1.
Oh my gosh. 2.5 hours. Ooh.
It's an interesting strategy. It doesn't work with every player. You have to have the right person on the other side. But this guy, he wound up, you know, I just kind of skimmed through it. I didn't watch. He only posted part of it. I think he probably posted maybe 45 minutes of the entire 2 hours. He did skip through a lot of it.
Oh, man. But
multiple times this guy came out with 1-star scarabs. And a 1-star scarab is pretty formidable. I never saw it get above 1-star. He had his chieftain. He had it garrisoned, which I didn't even know you could do this. But his chieftain made it to 3 stars and took out a scarab by himself.
What?
Yeah.
What? Wow. That's impressive. I'm going to have to go look this up.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I think the guy I saw, his name was I Dominate. I think is his gamer tag.
That's why you'll never be seeing me play RTS competitively. Stuff like that just baffles my mind, and I don't understand how that people do that. I'll stick with the first person shooter.
I understand that. Point, shoot. Oh. Now there's from the list of changes they've made, they've got listed here, it looks like everything is, you know, an effort to get a balanced gameplay along with some bug fixes. So
it looks similar to the stuff that they've done with Halo 5 Guardians so far, just as far as balancing. I mean, in Halo Wars it's units, but for Halo 5 it's weapons and power-ups. Right. Nothing that we haven't seen before.
No. And there'll be more weapon tuning. I mean, it will happen. Or vehicle or unit tuning. So,
among some of the other changes, though, there are some notable ones in the audio section that I've been experiencing in my run through, which I've been a little bit of annoyance, but I'm glad that they're fixing it. But whenever you do the select all units and you're scrolling through the different unit types in there, there's a bug where you have continual just audio repeats. So there's an audio spam of how the little audio thing of you scrolling between the units. So I'm glad that they're fixing that, because that gets annoying.
Yeah, I only had it happen once.
It happens to me all the time. People that have watched me stream have probably noticed it.
Well, I've only noticed it once, let's put it that way.
Are you playing on Xbox or PC?
When I noticed it was on PC.
But, I mean, are you playing mostly on PC or Xbox?
Oh, I'm playing mostly on PC.
I think every mission I've done on campaign so far, I've heard it happen probably maybe one in every five or four times that I select all units and scroll through them. It happens pretty frequently.
Either I'm not hearing it or it's not happening, one of the two. Zone B contested.
Yeah, I haven't played Blitz yet since the game came out to actually experience Zone B contested.
I am glad they're fixing that before I started playing Blitz. Zone B contested.
It's almost like a little throwback to Halo 3, where you had the flag drop, flag taken, flag drop.
Oh, I hated that. I mean, I understand why it happens, because they're flag juggling, but that was so freaking annoying.
It was so hilarious. Especially on stream when you were watching MLG and just seeing people juggle the flag and you hear nothing but flag drop, flag taken. And I got a shirt that has flag stolen, flag drop, flag stolen, flag drop, just all the way down the shirt. Some people have seen me wear that shirt and some people know what I'm talking about. It's great.
Yeah, if I saw that shirt, I would definitely know what you're talking about. And it still does it in Halo 5, but it doesn't seem as annoying in Halo 5 for some reason.
I think it's,
or maybe it's just not as repetitive as it is in Halo 3. You know, the flag's got to set there a little bit before it will up.
Yeah, I think there's a timer kind of with, like, if the flag is dropped and picked up within an X amount of seconds, it probably does not trigger the notification. Otherwise, it probably does it, I would maybe guess, after like probably 2 or 3 seconds, or I'm sure there's some set time of not kicking it off again.
Yeah, that was the one thing about playing Capture the Flag. There were days that I can't handle it. I'd play one game and I'd be pull my hair out by the end of the game because the flag dropped. Flag stolen, flag drop, flag stolen. What?
I thought it was funny.
No kidding.
I thought, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I know, funny already. The first 10 times. But you know, when you're getting skunked 2-0, it gets really annoying.
This is true. One of the updates that they're making with this patch too, that I don't know if this may address some of the thing that you said earlier, GT, but there's a update for Phoenix Log page adjustments, which I don't know if that'll include some of the stuff that you're talking about on which bonus objectives or optional objectives need to be done to get those Phoenix Logs or something.
I hope it does. I would just like them to expand on the stat page. Honestly, I'm grateful to 343 for bringing the stats back, but they've always seemed to be lacking in the stats compared to what Bungie provided. And I know this is an old comparison. You know, I liked the way Bungie had their page laid out, you could pretty much look up any stat that was attached to your gamer profile when it came to Halo 2 or Halo 3. You could look up how many total individual medals you got. The amount of information that was there was, it seemed to be a lot more accessible and a lot more of it.
I think that problem is twofold with Halo 5. One, their stats page is made to be more probably quote-unquote presentable. And two, that's one of the reasons why they have the API, so people can go out and do that work for them.
Yeah, I'm not knocking them. It's just, there are some things I wish that they would do to make it to where if you wanted to get more detail into it, you could.
I don't know. I haven't really looked into how many sites are utilizing the API, but I know there's been a few sites that have utilized the API for stuff like that before. I'm not aware of anything in particular. That never really took off for Halo 5 as it has for past Halo games.
Well, yeah. Well, with the past Halo game, well, pre-343, it was right there on Bungie's homepage.
In 343, it takes a little bit to get around. Also, part of that is the API for Halo, because it was actually private. There's only certain communities and certain groups that they gave the API out to for Halo 2 and Halo 3. I think Halo Reach was the first one that they actually opened it up to people for the Bungie games. Just from what I've seen on the API for Halo 5, it is kind of limited in what they offer compared to what stats you were given by Bungie. I think that may be one of the reasons why Bungie's stats were so thorough and so complete, is because not many people had access to those APIs, and they needed a place to actually put those stats, and they needed to include that kind of detail for people to go and look, because that kind of stat access wasn't available anywhere else.
Right. I would like to see 343 do a more detailed stat page. Will they do it? I don't know. If they want to keep the simple one, just put an advanced tab on the web page, to where if anybody wants a more detailed look, they can click on that and go into a more advanced breakout of, you know, their achievements and, you know, their scores and stuff like that. I'm not saying they have to put out heat maps and things like that. The heat maps were neat to look at, but they were, for most players, they were pretty useless. You know, just everyday people. I mean, the more competitive people, they made good use of them.
Not competitive in Forge.
Yeah.
Because for Forgers, you understand map flow and you see where certain designs may bottleneck or may open up to more combat kind of stuff. So it would give an idea to what to design around.
No, I wouldn't knock them if they included it, but in my opinion, it's not something that is absolutely necessary. But, you know, I would like to be able to go in and see all my stats.
Download like a CSV of stats, something like Excel sheet.
That would work, but, you know, I don't think that would happen, but I would like to see something similar to what Bungie had, or, you know, a lot closer to what Bungie had. So we can hope that they get a little bit more detail after this patch goes live.
True. And speaking of that kind of stats too, one of the things that they've been working on with this patch is under the hood preparation for ranked multiplayer. So that may introduce some cool stats things for Halo Wars 2. And finally, to wrap things up, because we kind of already discussed balance of the game, is some known issues that are still out there. There's a known issue where a game can freeze or result in very low frame rates that they're still working on. They're investigating reports of the short-term commitment achievement not registering as intended. Issues with cinematics, reports of minimap occasionally being unresponsive on PC. So yeah, that's still a thing, and I've been a witness to it on my campaign run. People have probably seen me try to click and it doesn't do anything. So that'll be a nice fix. Occasional infinite loading screen when loading into consecutive missions in co-op. Played co-op, so I haven't experienced that yet. Games can sometimes hang indefinitely when restarting a mission, and unit balance feedback and assessment is still ongoing by the design team. All the stuff that GT mentioned earlier about vehicle unit balances and all that stuff is pre-release updates that they were making. They will be filtering through community feedback. the 343 and Creative Assembly teams will be taking things into account and how to balance things out for a future patch. So that's all the Halo Wars 2 stuff. On to the Halo 5 stuff.
Oh, to go back to what we were talking about earlier about completing all the missions on gold, says on any difficulty.
Cool. So I'll try to do that on easy. That should be easy, right?
It should be. Provided you can figure out what the gold score is on each one of them. So make notes as you're playing, I guess.
You would think that the gold score would be the same. They would change the... Well, I guess maybe not. I can see why they would make it different. Never mind. Scratch that.
Well, yeah, because some missions are infinitely easier than others.
Well, I'm just talking about having the same score on the same mission just between the different difficulties. But I can see why you may want to have those a little bit different. So I take that back.
Well, I mean, if they score each difficulty the same, as far as, you know, a kill is worth 10 points, doesn't matter if it's on easy, normal, heroic, or legendary, then it could have the same gold level.
Well, and if you have like a legendary difficulty, maybe that's just a 4-time multiplier of certain points based off of what you're going up against. There's a little bit different. It's a kind of a curve in difficulty, not a straight line. So I can see why they have it. It would be different scores for different medals. It doesn't matter too much.
Just do it on easy.
Halo 5's update stuff. We have a whole list of multiplayer, Forge, a few little sandbox things that have been updated. A couple notable things from a multiplayer standpoint. There was issues reporting damage properly dealt between grenades and a few other things. So those things are updated in the post-game report and on your statistics page. Custom games now have an option to have a 0% speed and jump height. And there's also the ability to control cleanup times for weapons and vehicles.
Thank you.
Because they still disappear really, really quickly in default game modes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really quickly.
Way too fast.
That's kind of all the big stuff just for arena multiplayer that I picked out. And then there's a couple of Warzone things that they put in there. One big thing is Grunt Mech Kamikaze in Warzone, not necessarily Warzone Firefight, was fixed as far as how it gives kill credit, because there was an issue where if a Grunt Mech went Kamikaze, the person that did the last bit of damage got the credit for the kill. So they fixed that and made it to where it's a little more balanced with the damage, how they've changed a lot of the boss units since Warzone originally came out. Sandbox stuff. Not too many issues that they're addressing in this update. There's only 4. Apparently grenade launcher projectiles went through some geometry.
Darn, I never found that one.
I never did either. I never had that problem.
I've got to ask, have you come across an invisible phaeton yet?
I have not.
I haven't either.
So that was just forge stuff.
I know.
I don't know of any maps where I've come across seeing phaetons playable, so I wouldn't have been exposed to that.
Yeah, I was just curious, because I haven't seen any maps with, well, phaetons on them, period. Well, other than that one, Jenga one, but...
Oh, yeah, there are phaetons in that one. I forgot about that.
Anyway, sorry.
Someone brought it up as an issue, or someone found it like, oh, wait, this hasn't worked enough to make a note about it and get it fixed.
Apparently.
Yeah. They fixed some visual issues, including the Phaeton invisibility thing. With Forge, they added some new comparison values that people can use in scripts, which is cool. One of which is being a new comparison to the score to win value. And there's some new ending round conditions that you can use in scripting. There's a few entries regarding how objects interact with each other and collisions that they fixed. And there are some updates to the timers and counters that are also used in scripts that they have updated. Lots of Forge mumbo jumbo stuff. And again, I haven't really delved into Forge to know, but I know there's probably some of the things in here that a lot of Forge will be like, ooh, it's a good thing that that's fixed. And anything scripting to me is like, ooh, that's kind of cool that they fixed that. So that's why, at least in my notes, those are the things most notable to me. I'm just thinking of the, what is it, the Mantis custom? I forget what it's called, but just how some of the scripting stuff, like end of round scoring and some of the new counters that they can use to compare in scripts, how they just keep adding that and how custom games continue to evolve or they have a room to thrive with Halo 5 Forge. It's simply incredible.
And the best part is the Forgers are just getting warmed up.
It's too bad they didn't have this all this fun stuff at the beginning of Halo 5. I hope a lot of this stuff is available day one in Halo 6 so we could get some awesome and amazing Forge content and really get that ball rolling.
I hope so too. I hope that they learned their lesson about releasing their game in parts.
I felt that Halo 5, and I know this is another separate discussion that we could probably have and go into detail, so I won't divert from our main topic too much. I feel that Halo 5's big success and the only thing that really kept things going was Arena. Warzone started off well and then kind of tinkered off, but campaign speedruns and campaign streams, I think, have been at an all-time low for Halo. There's not many streamers that are doing campaign much anymore. Forgers, while there's still a decent population behind it, could have been much bigger. We could have seen a lot more content being put out like we did back in the Halo 3 days, I think, if we had the Forge system that we have now available day one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, for Halo 6, if they can pull together a Halo 4 quality story, Halo 5 multiplayer, completely, including Forge, at launch, we'll have an awesome game. Fingers crossed. Let's see. Oh, you want to talk about the new motion sensor stuff?
Sure. There's a couple other smaller things I want to get to before the motion sensor thing. So they've reduced the effective auto aim for firing a sniper rifle from the hip. They noticed that a lot of the aim assist is helping out a lot of getting more snapshots. So they've reduced that. They've also reduced the non-charged bolt from a plasma caster to have a lesser area of effect damage radius. So the sniper rifle and the plasma caster have become a little bit harder to use. A little bit more challenging to use, I should say.
The plasma caster thing I'm okay with, but really, the sniper rifle? I mean, even with the increased aim assist, I had a hard time getting a snapshot.
I found getting snapshots with airborne to be a little easier than expected. So I can see why they're dialing it back down a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I definitely don't blame them for turning it down. If I can get a snapshot, it's too much aim assist.
Fair enough.
And that is no joke. Although I did get a 2-for-1 the other day.
Ooh, nice. Was that a snipletaneous? Is that what they call it in Halo 5? I don't think I've gotten one of those yet.
I've got it downloaded. I haven't put it up on my YouTube yet.
Ooh, that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, we were playing Fiesta.
Ooh, Fiesta.
Super Fiesta.
I love my Super Fiesta.
I'll have to admit, I had a little help from Confel. He did kind of knock some shields off. Thanks, buddy.
That's nice of him. Yeah. These changes are going into effect immediately for the Halo Championship series for the sniper rifle and the plasma caster, which is a little bit different than normal. You usually kind of wait till the season's over to make changes, but they said that they're wanting to just go ahead and do it. They felt that the adjustments will help make a more positive impact to the tournament than not doing them. Onto the radar thing, though. They're doing a new radar. They're testing this out in a new playlist that will be available on Thursday, March 9th, which indicates the start of the March and April arena season. The playlist is going to be called Proving Grounds, and this is where the radar will only be reacting to players that are firing a weapon that is not silenced or are using a Spartan ability, like Sprint, Spartan Charge, Ground Pound, Stabilize, and Clamber. The range has been increased from 18 meters to 25 meters as well, and this playlist will be out there for about a month. This radar does not include motion detection, so it's a little bit more in the traditional style of the radar as it was in Halo 3, where you only, well, you didn't have the radar, period, but they're limiting the radar to whenever someone's firing a weapon and then if someone's using a Spartan ability. And there's a few reasons why, and a few things that they've seen from internal testing that has caused them to look at this. So players have more control when they show up on motion sensor if they're not having to worry about them moving around and showing up. So there's a little more tactical decisions that happen there. There gives a little more ability to be aware if someone is using a ability. So it's kind of like a early alert system for certain people coming in and possibly getting a leg up on you. Of course, it gives more stealth tactic options as well.
Yeah, I'm not sold on it.
I can see why they're doing it for, or why they would be doing it for HCS.
Yes, I can see why they're doing it.
I've actually seen a few, either on Twitter or somewhere else, some comments about why there's still radar in competitive Halo. I feel that this is 343's testing solution to possibly removing that. None of the other players are going to be affected by this, so radar will still work as it does currently. It's just in this Proving Grounds playlist is where it's going to be changing. And I think this seems to be ACS focused. I don't imagine this would be affect. This definitely wouldn't affect social. It may affect some of the other ranked playlists. Probably not all of them, but maybe a handful of them.
I would like to see at least the range increase come to the other playlists. Because with the mobility in Halo 5, you don't get enough warning when they're closing that gap.
And one of the things they wanted to do with having the radar in closer was to encourage that closer range combat. I'm guessing they may have realized that with all the new Spartan abilities, that having it in a lot closer doesn't... It lends to more, I guess, surprise attacks or not enough chance to react. So it sounds like that may be something that they're trying to balance out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to me almost every time I play. You know, I'm pretty diligent in watching my radar, especially when I'm in a somewhat confined place to make sure, you know, somebody's not coming up behind me because they were hiding in a corner or something like that. But it seems like they closed the gap on the radar way too fast. Now, this is just me. For my taste, they just closed the gap too fast. It seems like I'm always getting Spartan charged out of nowhere.
That happens a lot in, maybe not a lot, but I've seen it happen quite a bit in pro play where I wouldn't expect that to happen that often. Or at least when I was watching the Las Vegas qualifier this past weekend, it seemed like there were a few more uses of Spartan charge than I would have anticipated for pro level play.
You know, I just keep getting Spartan charged from the back, and it just seems like they don't light up on the radar fast enough for me to react to it. You know, I don't know how many more people have that same issue, but I know it's an issue that I have. You know, the 25 meter radar, which is kind of what, you know, they've always had or will have had for the last few games, it seemed to be enough warning that you had a chance to react to it, but not so much that, you know, you didn't have to hurry to counter, you know, say a Spartan charge. In Halo 3 or Halo, well, in Halo 3 or Halo Reach, you know, I could see that one having a shorter range because you didn't have the mobility you do in Halo 5. You can't, in those games, you can't close that gap as quickly as you can in Halo 5. You know, they can blow through that pretty quickly. You know, there's not a lot of cushion there. But, you know, back to the fact that the people only show up on when they're using an ability or firing a unsilenced weapon, that kind of takes away the risk versus reward to crouch walking. Because now they can walk at full speed and not show up on radar.
But that kind of goes back to what Halo radar in the competitive scene is, though. And we have the Satiris in the chat saying, just screw the radar completely for a competitive play. I mean, that gets us closer to how the radar has been treated traditionally in the past for competitive.
Yeah, I have no problem with them getting rid of radar for competitive. I mean, I play SWAT. You don't have radar in SWAT. Matter of fact, you know, back in Halo 2 days, Halo 3 days, whenever I'd get together with my friends, the first thing we do is turn off radar. In every game session, that was the first thing we turned off was radar. So, you know, I was used to playing, you know, I'm used to playing without radar. You know, when it's there, I, you know, I like to use it. You know, when I have it available.
I like it. I like it too. Moving along, there is some Halo 2 Wars goodness going to be happening at PAX East this coming weekend, which I will not be at. But there's going to be a panel where they're going to be talking about how they did, how they created the story, the artwork, and some content that is coming. So DLC's content. Hopefully the panel will be streamed. It's going to be in the main theater. So hopefully it's streamed. Might be some stuff that they will only show to the attendees, which will kind of be sad, but...
Oh, there's always stuff they only show the attendees.
Not always. There's been some streams where that there hasn't been anything exclusive.
Well, I haven't seen one.
I think there's been a few RTX ones that have...
That's RTX. I'm talking PAX.
Oh, I'm talking about like conventions overall that they go to, but yeah, so you could be right. The panel is on Saturday from 4 to 5 in the main theater. I'm assuming if it's in the main theater, it's going to be streamed. That's just my guess. If you're going to Boston and PAX, check it out. For the community spotlight, there is a new game show that Ultimate Halo has put out that's run by the Spartacat, aka Kenny. And it's kind of a mix between... It's kind of a playoff of Jeopardy, in a way. There's multiple contestants, and they get knocked out based off of trivia questions and categories. And they play for... one person plays for a prize, and then there's stuff at the end. That's kind of like Family Feud as well. There's a lot of little trivia show tidbits that is put in here, and the theme song is very... Very similar to Jeopardy. Very similar. But it's fun. The first episode's out. It's 19 minutes long, and it's over on Ultimate Halo's channel. It's something that they've been teasing about for a while, so go check it out. DJ Blue PDX from Griffball Hub was the first star co-host of the show. We are good friends with him, and he's good friends with us, so go check it out. And the stage is really cool. They did a really good job with creating and in Halo. The production quality is great. The whole presentation of it, I think, will improve over time, but I think it's definitely worth checking out. There's also a new mini game from Juliana's 1224, who created Knight of the Mantis. It's called Quick Draw. And its score is based off of memory. You're drawing a pattern on some forgeable objects. You have to memorize a pattern, and then you're teleported to a room, and then you have to draw that pattern. I haven't played it yet. I've just seen the stuff on the update, so it seems kind of straightforward. I might have to go and try it just once to see how it works, and I guess how good my memory might be on it.
Well, it basically is a game of memory. The way the game's set up, you have a group of blocks. It will display those blocks to you, and there's a colored pattern. You get to look at it for 10 seconds, and then you get teleported to a room where you need to recreate that pattern with the same number of blocks on the floor. You have switches that you can activate to, you know, they're like paintbrushes, and then you just go walk across the blocks that, or jump on the blocks that are certain colors. You have a set amount of time to get it done, and then once you're done, it teleports you back to the beginning, reveals what you answered, and shows you what it was supposed to be, and then it scores you on how many blocks you got correct. It's kind of a neat little setup.
It's really impressive with just how much scripting gets involved with that.
No kidding. I mean, he's figured out a way to score correct blocks.
Halo 5 scripting is powerful. So powerful.
And it's not score like kill score. You get, you know, 50%, 60%, 80%, and then whoever has the highest percentage wins that round.
I'd just say go check it out.
Definitely go check it out.
There's a debate going on between Unishek, Grimbrother1, and Brian Gerard about the best mini game And there was a Twitter poll that Unishek put up, and Prop Hunt won over Castle Wars and Sky High, which is kind of funny.
I'd have to go with that one. Prop Hunt is lots of fun.
Prop Hunt is a lot of fun.
It's a game that scales really good between, you know, 3 or 4 players to 16 players.
People just got to make more Prop Hunt maps eventually. It's really cool how people have made mini games in Halo 5 has been insanely incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Color me impressed.
I can't wait for them to figure out how to make the map spawn the items on it in random places.
That would be interesting.
So you can't actually learn the map. So everything moves around.
I wonder if you could set like a library of spawn points for a particular object and then it spawns. Huh. That would get interesting.
Uh-huh. I mean, you know, you would have certain pieces that were fixed, like the walls, fences, like on the current map of the crane, you know, big items. But, you know, like the boxes and the crates and the cones and the trees, or, you know, maybe not the trees, but make those, well, anything that you can get into and drive or hide in, make any of that stuff on the map just spawn in random locations. I think that'd be interesting.
Someone get it done. Do it. Do it now. Last couple of things from the update are some HCS related things. This past weekend was the Las Vegas qualifier for the North American region, and Optic Gaming came out on top. They were the reigning champions of the Halo World Championship Series last year, and they are poised to take it again this year, unless some of the other pro teams can show up and outperform Optic Gaming this year. So the top 6 teams going into the World Championship Series from the U.S. Actually, I don't have what I thought I had up in front of me. Was it is actually not it. So never mind. I'll see if I can find it before the podcast is over. We do have the winners from New Zealand, and it's Team Immunity for the Australian and New Zealand qualifier. So congrats to Team Immunity. They were in the States last year for the Halo World Championship Series, so they're going to be back again this year, which is awesome to see. And the finals are going to be in 3 weeks in California at the ESL headquarters in Burbank, California. I will be there. I'll get some pro interviews and try to get some more international team interviews like I did last year for the World Championship Series. So if there's any teams that you guys would like to have me attempt to get interviews from, then let me know, and we will try to get those interviews set up and captured for you guys. Last thing for us tonight, we'll be covering the few responses that we got from people expressing what they've enjoyed with their Halo Wars 2 game so far. So we mentioned last week, and I know I haven't released the podcast yet, so sorry about that. We'll do another giveaway because we have a few extra copies, digital copies of the Prima Guide for Halo Wars 2 still to give away. So first ones are going to be from Facebook. So Josh Adai, I think is how you say his name. He says, Isabel and Jerome cutscenes for sure, not to mention that ending, which I don't know what that ending is, but he made ending in all caps, so I'm assuming it's a pretty big ending.
You will.
I will what?
You will be saying it in all caps too.
Oh, okay. So when you see me on Twitter apparently this weekend saying OMG that ending, I guess you guys will probably know what I'm talking about already. At least everyone in here probably does. We also got a response from Bobby, which I think he's posted on Twitter and on Facebook. He says on Facebook, besides the 1v3 fight against Heroic AI he pulled off, he just completed the campaign on Legendary and did every mission in only a single attempt each. The Halo, which is the mission I'm currently on right now, was a close one, and the final score was my 3,000 to the AI's 2,985. way too close for comfort, but playing this game has felt so rewarding for me. Though I should clarify, for my legendary run, I turned on all schools that would benefit me. I'm not quite that good.
That is one benefit to running it, completing everything on easy, is that you unlock all the skulls.
That makes sense. I'm trying to do my run without any skulls or enhancement. I'm trying to just do it on normal, straight up run.
Well, if your first time through, you don't have any of the skulls unlocked, so you can't apply them anyway.
That is true. Going to Twitter, we have a response from DaBone5, and he says, the cutscene with Isabel and Jerome was amazing. I felt a lot like Halo Fall of Reach with Samuel's Last Stand. So two people saying that the cutscene with Isabel and Jerome was good.
I liked it.
I liked it too, but quick spoiler alert tag for anyone who hasn't gotten that far. The voices that Isabel is hearing, I wonder what those are. And it almost seemed like it was like there was a small flashback to like a before life of Isabel, because like there was a part of that cutscene where there was like skin tone. Am I entering more territory that I haven't gotten to yet that I need to wait before answering?
Well, let's see. Have you read Fractures?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough. I've been given a reading assignment. Thank you. Multiple reading assignments, actually. We'll get to that later. That's what happens when I go on vacation in Iceland for a couple weeks, and I don't get a chance to play. Although Iceland was worth it.
But while you were looking at those Northern Lights, you should have been had a book there reading and just basking in the glow.
My brother had us going like crazy from place to place and doing stuff the whole time we were there, so there wasn't much time to read.
I understand.
And now being back, work is suffocating all my free time, so there's not much time to read then either. Maybe when I'm flying out to LA for the Halo World Championship, I can read then.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Bobby on Twitter, we already read him off of Facebook, but he said this on Twitter, so it's a little bit different. I'm loving the game so far, and just the other day conquered one of the hardest but fun challenges. He soloed against 3 heroic AI and won. The two teammates that he had listed dropped before the match even began. Yeah, you're a much better player than I am. I need a few people to teach me how to play RTS, apparently. Between you, Bobby, I think Masters has offered to help. Unikraken's also to help. And Laird has also offered to help. There's lots of people that have offered to help. And I just, once I get through this campaign, I will be more than happy to take assistance in running through Legendary and playing multiplayer. I need to find something I'm good at with regards to RTS and Halo Wars, because I don't really, like, I can identify some things I'm good at with the first-person shooter games. I'm good at running objectives. I'm not necessarily good at staying alive in FFA or that kind of stuff. I'm much more of a team player, and I can do objectives pretty well. But I haven't found what I'm good at with RTS. I think I'm a horrible micromanager. At least that's what it seems like with me playing through the campaign. Maybe you guys that have been watching me can justify that or correct me if I'm wrong about that. But it'd be nice to identify some aspect of my gameplay that I can actually get better with and play with people on, so I can actually have a good time and people can have a good time playing with me instead of having to backpack me the whole entire time. So that'd be nice. You'd get
better with practice.
I know. It'd be nice to have that time instead of having to get work extra hours. Lots for work.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I haven't even played against the AI yet in skirmish.
But you've completed the campaign. I haven't even completed the campaign yet.
Well, I completed the campaign on easy, but you know, I wanted to get through the story more than to learn to play the game.
Fair enough. Okay. So between those three people, I need to run a random thing here. So I'm going to actually just flip two coins and try to do it that way. So Bobby, I'm going to have you be two heads. I'm going to do, who is the other one that replied on Twitter? DaBone 5, I'll have you be heads and tails. And then the Facebook one, the other Facebook one was Josh Addy will be tails. So let's see what we get here. And they're going everywhere. So there's one heads.
The other one went down the vent.
And the other one was tails. So DaBone 5 on Twitter has won the Prima Guide, the physical copy of the Prima Guide.
Cool.
So congratulations. And thanks for letting us know what your experience with Halo Wars 2 has been so far. Once I finish the campaign, we'll probably do another one so we can have people submit in what their favorite campaign moment was, because I'll actually know them all by the time I get done with the campaign.
It's a good thing they didn't put anything in there to a spoiler territory.
I know. Thank you guys for not doing that. DaBone 5, I will reach out to you on Twitter so I can update, or I can get your address so I can ship some stuff out. And that'll wrap it up for us tonight. We've had a great couple of weeks so far with Halo Wars 2. I know some people have completed the campaign, which I have not, and there's some people that have gone on to play multiplayer, Blitz, Skirmish, and all that fun stuff, so we'll get to that here as soon as I can actually get stuff done and have time to play everything. Thanks for writing in for those that did. Bobby, Josh, and DaBone5, appreciate your feedback. And we will be back again next week when I will hopefully have the campaign done. Hopefully. I should. I don't think there's any reason I shouldn't. I would imagine it's going to probably take me another 3 hours to beat the campaign. Hopefully nothing more. Hopefully.
You get no hints from me.
Okay. I've been told that I'm on the second to last level. So as long as the last level is not a doozy like the one I'm currently on, then I should be okay, I think. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will be back again next week, and we will also be back on Friday for our Fragon Fridays custom game night hosted by Mr. Godzilla T. Well, I shouldn't say custom game night, but game night nonetheless.
Our Lobby's Choice game night.
Yes. Our fan appreciation Fragon Fridays. I don't know. Something like that. You can catch him over on Xbox side of things at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday. Then you can check back on probably Saturday. I'll be streaming the rest of my campaign run through for Halo Wars 2. If I'm not streaming it on Friday, it'll most likely be Saturday where I'll finish my campaign run. So be on the lookout for Saturday, either late morning or early afternoon, where I will be streaming what will hopefully be the last bit of me completing the Halo Wars 2 campaign. And that'll be on Twitch as well. Bobby's saying Fan Frags. Fan Frags Friday. That kind of has a ring to it.
A little bit.
Fans Fraggin' Friday. Fans Fraggin' Fridays. There you go. We also have...
That's a whole lot of Fs.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But hey, what the F, right? We also have a few other social media platforms you can reach us on. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and we're also on Discord. We have a Discord server that you can come in and chat with us. We chat about little cool things every now and then. It's pretty quiet a good amount of time, but there are little sparks every now and then where we'll get some discussions going on. I didn't even read the discussion from last week before the podcast. I have no idea what went down in the Discord chat then. It was like an hour of constant buzzing, and I'm still in the dark on what went down.
Yeah. I really wish they had mute on notifications.
They do. You can turn
that
off.
That was easy to get to.
Oh, yeah. Discord doesn't...
Like one button press?
Yeah, it's not quite as easy to do that on Discord, but it is there. You just have to dig a little bit. You can also check out the podcasting network that we are a part of, which... Yeah, Guardian Radio just turned 4 years old and recorded their 200th episode within the past couple of weeks. You can check everyone out over at thepodcast.com. That is podcast with a K. In addition to Guardian Radio, they also have Critcast, which is a TF2 podcast. They have The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast. They have Podcast 76, which is their Overwatch podcast. Then there's also Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. If you're looking for other quality podcasts to listen to, or if you're interested in any of the games that they talk about or discuss, then you should go over and check them out and let them know that we sent you. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. For those that are tuning us in on Twitch, we record Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And once I get my stream figured out next time, it will not be super delayed like it was. But make sure you come join the fun, join the chat. I saw some nice returns in the chat that I haven't seen in a while, namely the Soterios over from Ready Up Live. Shout out to you for hopping in the stream for a little bit. Appreciate your support. And we've got some of the regulars in here like Laird, Pens, Bobby, Confowl. Eric Boo is late today. Shame on you, Eric Boo. Have you gotten your 152 yet? Has everybody from their spawn?
That's probably why he was late.
Yeah, probably. It's like, I'm so close. But anyways, thanks again for listening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back next week. And until then, keep on fragging the banished. Later.